Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rod.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Monday. It's your sports bros, Rob and Sook. I'm Rob.
Sada.
Big Sook's right over there.
Right here.
Oh, dude.
Look at him. Ryan Buckley is here.
Now watch this drive.
I'll try to figure out how to corner the market on pallets.
Yeah, we were told by RJ, P1 RJ, he's a Costco bro.
Mm-hmm.
We were told that pallet safety is closely scrutinized in his line of work.
Yeah, apparently we were going to get all fast and loose with pallets, and he's saying no.
Well, I feel like that's just a bribe or two of a key politician, and we should be good.
My jiu-jitsu gym is in like an industrial area, and so there's like, I don't know how this is like regulated, but on any given day when you go over there, you can see like a stack of like 50 pallets.
Yeah.
And I think to myself, and they're not strapped in or whatever, I'm like, right. How is that safe? So RJ's over here telling me that there's a lot of pallet restrictions. Not from what I can tell.
Well, I think what he's saying is, like, if I give Costco a bunch of pallets, they better not break.
Mm.
But once you're done with the pallets and you are stacking them over in the corner of Costco,
you want. That's on you.
Because
you always see a bro, like, driving, like, an old, like, S10 pickup, and he's got, like, 19 of them stacked up.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there, and there's just, like, a bungee cord holding them down. I'm like, how is that legal?
Yeah, that's probably not.
Mm. We're going to have the greatest pallets. No one is ever going to see pallets like these.
Mm.
It's going to say they want my pallets.
Missed my calling.
Yeah. You can be a pallet guy.
Could have been the pallet king.
Could have been the pallet king.
Not exactly on the straight and narrow, but Rop the pallet bro had a vision.
They did.
The Asahi brand of pallets.
Guys.
The finest pallet anyone has ever seen.
This is a good lesson for you kids. Never let that great idea just float away.
Asahi. Like,
chase your dreams, your pallet dreams.
Like we were going to do beef jerky business cards.
That's right.
We're already getting Christmas commercials, by the way.
Yep. Yep.
John I told Travolta. Isaac my kid wore a Grinch sweatshirt to school today.
Mm. It's here.
Yeah, the kids are all excited because Halloween's over.
Yeah. So we just skip right over Thanksgiving and move into Christmas.
Well, my son was bummed that people around us were taking their Halloween decorations down because he liked seeing them all the time. And we explained, well, the Christmas decorations will come next. Maybe not for a while, but he's like, Christmas? He had no idea that was around.
Yeah, the kid's like, he's like, oh my God. This world is so great. I go straight from getting free candy from neighbors
presents.
To putting on my Grinch shirt and getting presents.
Yep, yeah, something like that.
God.
I will say the commercial that came on is the John Travolta Santa commercial.
Is that Walmart?
I love that. I think it's Capital One. So it's a credit card.
Oh.
A venture or whatever.
That was close.
I love that John Travolta commercial. Well, first off, he looks great as Santa. The hair is on point, white, and he's doing the Santa disco. I love that. That may be just me. Everyone else may hate that commercial, but every time I see it, I get in the holiday spirit. I was like, oh, Christmas is here. John Travolta. All right.
I love the holidays. This is a great time of year. And I'm not one to chastise you for already having your Christmas lights up. I'm not one to chastise you for getting your Christmas tree whenever you want to get your damn Christmas tree.
However you want to do it.
Because I get it. It's fun time.
It is.
We actually thought this year, we never do this, but Thanksgiving is so late, and then my wife goes on a work trip right after. We're going to get our tree before Thanksgiving this year, and we never do that.
I might put up my tree tonight. I mean, it's just a fake one.
Yeah, a fake tree. We're a fake tree family now. It's controversial.
You'll never go back to it.
Probably
not. If you have a real tree, and I'm a real tree guy, but we have a fake tree now, small house, you know, a lot of different factors. But once you get the fake tree, you don't go back.
Well, we leave for Christmas. Yeah. We go somewhere.
It's just easier. Everything makes, it's just way easier.
Yeah.
Even though I'd like to have a real tree, it's a compromise I'm willing to make.
If I was going to be home for Christmas, I still feel like I would go do the real tree, but you know, when you're gone, then you're leaving it there and no one's there to water it and fire hazard. And then I look, let's be honest, I don't want to take it down. Getting the tree, fine. Removing it, it's a pain.
I'm turning on my lights tonight.
It's still kind of a novelty for me because in California, you just walk through a parking lot and pick a Christmas tree. There's so many, like, you can cut them yourself farms in Oregon. That's like, it's kind of a neat thing.
Yeah, especially with little kids.
Yeah, it's an activity. It's built in.
It's the land of milk and honey out here for Christmas trees.
Yeah.
It's so true. I've gone Christmas tree shopping with my brother and his wife down in San Diego.
You just walk through a parking lot. It's like,
they go to Fred Meyer or Home Depot and there's a fenced off area with a bunch of trees and you pick one.
Yep. You probably got delivered in from Oregon.
When I lived in La Center,
exactly.
we had so many Christmas tree farms and there was people that did it. They did a nice job. You know, they gave you a little Santa things and hot chocolates.
Oh yeah. People are building them out now where there's little food stands and stuff for kids to do.
All right, well, enough about that. Oregon quiets the big house, or was it already quiet?
Ah, see what you did there.
Well, we had boots on the ground there, so I was picking the brain of one of our listeners and friends who was there.
Did it get loud at all?
He said no. He said there. I'll tell you all
was
about
it. Was it Dusty Hera? He was also there.
He was there, and I heard a major gaffe by Dusty Hera on the broadcast.
Uh-oh.
Yep. I'm not going to call him out on
it. Need the dump button?
He knows.
It's going to get awkward.
At any rate, report from the big house is coming up. We'll finish off our college football Manny Petty. Quincy Jones has passed.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that in the club. And the hot new Christmas trend of 2024.
Ooh, I do love Christmas trends.
But right now, the hot 5 at 5.
Oh! Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com.
Number 5.
Number 5.
Former Oregon State outfielder Stephen Kwan becomes just the fifth player in baseball history to win a gold glove in each of his first three seasons.
The Kwaner.
The others are Johnny Bench, former Rockies catcher Charles Johnson, Ichiro, and Nolan Arenado.
Some nice company right there.
Except for Charles Johnson.
Yeah, I know. I was like, huh? Just to see that Bobby won his first one.
Yeah, Bobby Witt.
Bobby Witt.
Rightly so.
There's a bunch of newcomers.
He's amazing.
And the big dumper, Cal Raleigh, 1-1 for your Seattle Mariners.
The Yankees are keeping Gerrit Cole. He has opted in to a four-year, $144 million extension. This is the same one that he opted out of last week.
Yeah, just to get more money.
But now they're going to try to get him more money with a big extension.
Just to see, too, speaking of Mariners, Dylan Moore won a gold glove as a utility guy.
What?
Yeah, I know.
You can do that?
I didn't know. I was looking through the list of
so you're the best fielder of the guys who don't play very much
number
or play
four.
All over?
Yes.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
He plays every position, doesn't he?
So, yeah.
Besides catchers.
So, Raleigh won the gold glove as catcher, and then Dylan Moore. So, the Mariners have two gold gloves.
I didn't know they gave one out for that.
Also, the great Seth Lugo.
My guy.
Of your Kansas City Royals.
Players aren't the only ones popping in and out of NBA lineups. Now we've got coaches.
Oh, yeah.
75-year-old Spurs coach Greg Popovich is out indefinitely. Reports he had been sick and had a health issue before Saturday's game. The Blazers are taking on those Spurs on Thursday. In the meantime, they'll be in New Orleans tonight. Third meeting with the Pels. You know, the Blazers are 2-5 after properly losing their last two games.
Yes.
College basketball is getting underway. We have Oregon UC Riverside tonight on The Fan at 7:30. We also have a really good top 10 matchup in Spokane. Gonzaga is number 6. They are hosting number 8 Baylor.
I'll be watching Riverside, to be honest with you. I like that matchup a little better. Are you kidding me?
And the Oregon women's team is currently only up 20 on California Baptist in the third quarter. It is 51-31.
I love early season college basketball where you get these games. You're like, who the hell are you playing?
It's like 93-12.
Yeah, California Baptist. And then you find out that they're just, you know, the tallest player on that team is 5'4". Like, I don't know. It's a bunch of wannabe nuns.
Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott will miss multiple weeks with a hamstring injury they have learned is worse than they initially thought. Dallas with Philly, Houston, and Washington next up. They're saying Cooper Rush will start in his place, not Trey Lance.
That's how bad Trey Lance is. He can't beat out Cooper Rush.
As for receiver CeeDee Lamb, he's okay, could play this week. The trade deadline is tomorrow. The Lions could be getting pass rush help as Aiden Hutchinson is hurt. They are talking with the Browns about acquiring defensive end Za'Darius Smith. Also, the Cardinals made a move today. They lead the NFC West, and they have traded for Broncos pass rusher Baron Browning in exchange for a sixth-round pick.
Yeah, we could have an active trade deadline. There's a lot of rumors swirling around there. And if I'm the Lions, dude, I'd aim a little higher. I'd go see if some people are having some fire sales. Because they've got cap space. Got 30-plus million in cap space. I'd call about that other rusher that Cleveland has.
Yeah, the trade deadline tomorrow, I think, at 1:30 our time. 7-0 Chiefs host the 4-4 Bucks on Monday Night Football tonight. Kansas City having won 21 of their last 22 games, including the playoffs. Do you remember when the upstart Saints were 2-0 and they averaged 45 points per game?
And we told you, this is not sustainable what they're doing, and boy, was it not.
Well, they're now 2-7,
yeah.
And they have just fired their coach, Dennis Allen. They were averaging 45 a game in their first two, but just 17 points a game since.
You know, Derek Carr has now gotten him fired twice.
Where was the other one? Oakland.
When he got fired with the Raiders, Derek Carr was his
winner. Dennis Allen's a terrible head coach.
He is a terrible.
Terrible. Coach.
But Carr hasn't even been playing.
I'm just saying, he's been the starting quarterback twice.
He comes back for one game. They lose to Carolina. Poof, gone. Well,
losing to Carolina.
He hates Dennis Allen.
Lose to Carolina and Bryce Young will indeed get you fired.
Did you see the Carr brothers have the most losses of any quarterbacks in their first season all the way through their 10th season? Starting with David Carr first three seasons and then Derek Carr seasons 4-9.
Oh, God. But the Saints are a mess. They need to reset
most losses for any starting quarterback through that many seasons. 1-9 belongs to a Carr brother.
Number one.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. See, by the way, they're $60 million over the cap next year, and they do not have players that they can just get rid of. That organ is that they are into it for a while. That's not going to get good. And by the way, Chris Olave, like, that's 5 concussions now in his career, including this one where it looked like he was dead. We need to have the tour conversation about
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Not good.
The first college football playoff rankings will be out tomorrow. In the meantime, Oregon, finally, unanimous number one. That is the first time in school history they've achieved that.
Oh.
Georgia remains number 2. Ohio State, Miami, and Texas are 3, 4, 5 this week. Indiana cracks the top 10 for just the 5th time in their school's history. Hoosiers come in at number 8. Tez Johnson update. This from Pete Thamel of ESPN. He says his shoulder injury is not considered season-ending. He will not have surgery and is expected back at some point later in the season. Ducks hosting Maryland this week. And then it's that road trip to Wisconsin. We learned the game time for the game at Camp Randall this week. We learned that today. And that will kick off at 4:30 Pacific on NBC.
Just realized that not this week, but next week, Indiana is going to the Shoe with a berth in the Big Ten title on the line.
Hell yeah.
What
Google
the
me.
Hell?
Let's say right now, and Buck, will you write this down?
Yes.
What does everyone think the point spread on that game will be?
I bet you're
in Columbus, right?
In Columbus. I'm going to say Ohio State will be favored by 4.5.
Ooh.
It's going to be closer than you think.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to go 9.5.
Oh man!
Let's see how close we are.
I was gonna be closer to Sue. I was gonna say like 5.5.
Okay, jot those down, yeah. And then next week we'll.
You
we'll
say 9 or 9.5?
I said 9.5, and maybe even 10. A cool easy 10.
I think a cool easy 10, huh?
I mean, I don't know. I'm no odds maker, but
I guess it's 2. I thought it was a week from now. I guess it's 2 weeks. I apologize.
Damn it, Sukanic.
I thought we only had one more week,
God.
But no.
Good news, we can do this exercise again.
We
got
to get through Purdue and Northwestern before we get to Indiana.
They have a look-ahead light on Ohio State, Indiana? Maybe
sure, I bet they
now.
Do. Hold on.
Yeah, they've got to.
The Hot 5-5 brought to you by Victor Rico's Mexican Food. Discover Victor Rico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or delivered straight to your door at victorricos.com.
Oh, and Indiana. Wow. Indiana gets a bye before that game.
Ooh.
Let's go.
Oh, you know what? Increase. Right now.
What's it at?
One Isaac Everett Rop is all over it. 9.5.
It is 9.5.
Boy, I'll take
at FanDuel Bally's.
You want some of that? I'll
take Indiana?
I'll take Indiana if you're going to give me 9 points.
I can't do it. I'll take Ohio State.
All right.
I just can't. I can't bet. Come on, Indiana. I mean, I get it, but yeah. I kind of don't.
I'll take Ohio State
by 40.
I'll take the 9.
Okay, maybe not 40. Ohio State, 39, Indiana, 23. How about that?
39-23?
Yeah.
All right.
I'll do that.
A lot of faith in that Ohio State O-line right now.
Yeah, it's really more the lack of faith in Indiana to really close. I mean, come on. They're not going to go undefeated.
You question Cignetti at your own peril.
Dude, they're Google him, come on!
Google him! Wait till they beat the hell out of Michigan and then get a week to prepare. I'm all in. I'm buying an Indiana shirt right now.
Oh, Google Lord, me, bitch. I'm Johnny.
I've got confirmed information.
Confirmed information.
The Hoosiers.
Oregon quiets the Big House. Next on The Fan. Well, Oregon certainly did cook on Michigan's grill this weekend.
Yeah, it was never really.
Winning at the Big House.
It just wasn't competitive.
Nope, another lame Big Ten game.
Yeah.
But,
you know, a version of Dan Lanning had something to say about that butt kicking.
Yeah, the AI Dan Lanning.
Have you heard AI Dan Lanning?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, someone sent this to me over the weekend. It was a la the Kirk Ferentz. I guess that was Brian Ferentz. Get a ladder and climb
maybe
out
it's
of
time
my
to grab a hold of your little step ladders and go ahead and climb out of my ass for a while.
This?
The Oregon Ducks walked into the Big House today, and we absolutely curb stomped those filthy fucking sign stealers in front of their own fans. Our offense played all right. Dylan Gabriel threw for 300 and a tutty with another one on the ground, and our defense shut out the Wolverines on that key fourth down late in the game. Anyways, the Ducks are the number one team in this entire fucking nation, and of course, we're running the table on the Big Ten. It's a shit conference with a bunch of basketball schools, and we've got an easy path to the playoffs. Quack, quack, y'all. I'll see you guys next week.
How about that? Yeah. Sounds just like him.
Yeah.
If it weren't quite so choppy, the pauses were a little bit better.
It's a little robotic and stiff, and that's, you know.
Well,
to
he kind of talks like that though. he kind of.
It's a little robotic, but it's nice. I like it.
His cadence is a little robotic, but yeah, just needs a little bit of cleanup.
I like the sign stealing. Beep. Good times.
It's an S conference full of basketball schools. I like that too.
Well, it's the largest crowd ever to watch Oregon.
Yeah.
They have never played in front of a bigger crowd. 110,576.
Yeah.
And from the P1 boots on the ground that of the people that I've talked to, one, Masters Pete was there, and he said the place is very overrated. It wasn't loud at all. And that was the second time he's been there.
And literally everyone that goes there just constantly loves to crap on that place.
Well, I think there is an element that we talked about this last week. There is an element of just because it's big doesn't mean it's hostile.
Yeah.
And that is what we're finding out now that we've moved into the Big Ten here about Ohio State and Michigan is they really aren't. They're cool places to play, but they're not hostile environments. They're just not.
Yeah.
Their fans are great. I was told by RJ, who was there, he said their fans are wonderful, and they're very humbled. So they weren't talking a lot of trash. Of course, they take every opportunity to point to their 2023 championship banner.
As well they should, by the way.
But they bonded over the fact that Oregon beat Ohio State.
Oh,
Michigan fans love that. Yeah. And
enemy of my enemy sort of thing.
Well, yeah, and Michigan beat Washington in the championship game last year. So Michigan and Oregon fan, I think, shook hands and, you know, bro-hugged this weekend. Now, I don't know if maybe some sort of rivalry brews over time in the Big Ten with Michigan, but right now, their fans seem on the same page in their hatred of Washington and Ohio State.
All I know is when you're throwing through a $1.64, you know your team ain't doing anything. So I think they knew the ass kick. Like if you were a Michigan fan, you knew early on that.
And they
game,
knew going into the game.
Yeah,
he said that's what you go to the tailgates and they're like, just take it easy on us. Yeah. Like you know when when a team's down, you know it. And Michigan, it's just that's the circumstance this year. They did not have what it takes to compete
last year,
with Oregon.
You roughed everyone up. You won your national title, and that's gonna sustain you for a while. But you knew what was coming, and you know they don't have an offense to speak of, none. And when you leave your defense out there, bad stuff happens. So.
Well, it was the worst thing is injuries. You know, it's like you get
out of there. And Michigan was getting hurt too. Michigan lost. They're already down a bunch of guys, and both quarters were out.
No offense to Michigan, I don't really care about that. I was talking about Oregon just staying healthy. Like, look, if they're going to really finish this off, they have got to stay healthy. And two key players went down in that game.
Yeah.
Harper on the offensive line and Tez Johnson.
Yeah.
And I've been saying all along, I just think if fully healthy, their receiving core is what's going to win them the championship. If they win a championship, I really feel like it's going to come down to those receivers rising above in a big game against whether it be a Georgia or another Ohio State matchup or Texas. You cannot stop those guys.
Well,
there's too many of them.
Did you watch?
But now Tez is hurt.
Yeah, but they say it's probably not season ending. So
I mean, they're still deep.
Yeah,
but you can't. I mean,
yeah.
This is where things start to pile up in November. You get a couple injuries like that.
And Harper, what I said, I guess on the sidelines, he told Dan Lanning he's going to be okay, but every O-lineman believes he's going to be okay. So we'll see what happens there, because at the beginning of the year, you know, the O-line was problematic. So, yeah, you get a couple injuries, or God forbid something happens to your quarterback. And let's not forget, like, when Dennis Dixon went down, that Oregon team was as good as anyone in the country. And then, you know, Dixon gets hurt and everything goes to hell. So you're so right. Just stay healthy and keep this thing together, because it's a long way. The regular season, I feel like it's just on rose petals now. But then the Big Ten title game, which, you know, gets you a bye.
What is it? It's Maryland. Wisconsin.
And Washington. And Washington.
And Wisconsin's sitting there and waiting now for 2 weeks because they don't play this week. So they do get a bye leading into the Oregon game.
But they just got waxed, didn't they?
Yeah. Well, they have 41-10 against Iowa, and they're like doing some soul searching. It is at Wisconsin.
If you look at their schedule, they haven't – anybody good – they've played. They've lost two by double digits, including USC.
Yeah, they're not good.
So forgive me for not thinking that is a stumbling block game. It's just not. It's going to go the same way of the Michigan game and the Illinois game and the Purdue game and the freaking Michigan State game.
Look, the bottom line is, I mean, Oregon's going to the playoff, and then once you get to the playoff, then it's
The question is, I think you're right. I think that's the question. The question right now is, with Oregon, they are good enough to get this thing to the Big Ten title game. Can you beat Ohio State a second time? If you do, you get a bye in the first round. If you don't, you're going to be playing that first weekend, and it's probably going to be at Autzen.
Yeah.
Against a really fun opponent.
Maybe Boise State again.
Right? Possibly.
Possibly.
Could be the five. Yeah.
Five versus 12 matchup sort of thing. So we'll see what happens, but it does feel like the playoff is inevitable. It's just a matter of, do you have the bye, and then what are those matchups? But yes, this team, when healthy, especially this year, I do not think that there is a dominant team. As good as Oregon is, Oregon's not dominant.
They're the best team in the country.
I think so. I think they're the most complete team in the country. And when I look around, I've always said in the years past, it's always felt, even with the good Oregon teams, it always felt like maybe someone else was looming, like a Georgia or a Bama or Ohio State or something. You looked at it, you're like, yeah, man, I don't really want to play them. I don't think there's a team that if you're Oregon, you look at and you're like, I don't want to play them. I mean, obviously there's teams that can beat. Ohio State damn near did it. Boise State damn near did it. I mean,
and Georgia could, or Texas could.
Any of these teams are capable of beating Oregon, but I don't think that there is a matchup that you look at and say that I'm particularly scared.
We got our hands too full. We can't handle that.
I think that's right.
And I think that's the first time you could ever say that. And so the hard part is that when you get there, it's one thing to beat a team at home in a close one against Ohio State, right? At Autzen. It's another thing on a neutral field to beat Ohio State and then beat Georgia and then beat Texas 3 weeks in a row. That, I don't care who you are, that's just a mother bear of a task. And that's just the reality of the college football world. It is way harder to win a national title now than it was before. It was harder to get there, but once you were there, you had a puncher's chance against anyone. Now you got to do it week after week after week. It's tough.
This is why I'm saying you have to stay healthy.
Stay healthy, yeah.
And so this is the first time, because they've been actually, even though they've had some injuries, they've been remarkably healthy up until now.
And Birch came back. He was playing.
But now, you know, it's like, okay, so that happens against Michigan, and then you go into a game against Maryland, and what if another one or two happens? It starts to... You know, it can catch up to you quick.
Yeah. It's also why building your depth really matters. Going and getting an Evan Stewart in the portal makes all the difference, because you don't miss a guy like Tez as much. Obviously, you can't make up for that,
but you need the big studs
for sure.
In the biggest games. Look, their defense has played two teams capable of any offense, two, and they gave up 34 and 32.
Yeah.
So to me, comes down to Oregon scoring, and I don't see a defense out there that scares you. Yeah. With Gabriel and those receivers, if they are healthy, I don't know who stops that.
No, I mean, Penn State completely got shut down by Ohio State's secondary. And they couldn't really do anything against the Oregon or against the Ohio State D line, and we saw Oregon go through it. I mean, Ohio State had to change. They're like, hey, you're gonna have, you can run the ball on us because we can't play man coverage on the outside. And you know, you look at Georgia, dude. Carson Beck, I think he's thrown 11 interceptions in the last five games.
He threw three again on Saturday.
God,
didn't he?
Dude, that certainly doesn't scare you. I think Texas is obviously a very good offense, but again, I don't think you look at that offense and you're like, oh my God, what are we gonna do against it? You know, maybe the team that scares you the most is Indiana.
Maybe. I would say that the defensive fronts of Georgia and Texas,
yeah,
if motivated,
sure,
that's the best.
They've got the horses.
That's the best way to knock Oregon off its game, right there.
Because the one thing Ohio State couldn't do, especially when they were playing man coverage, is they could not get consistent pressure and get to Dylan Gabriel.
I saw what Georgia did to Texas in that first half. And dude, those bros... Yep. That's not a team you want to see. No,
they mauled them up front.
And then you do things like muffing punts. You know, like Tez gets hurt and they put in Pelham and he muffs a punt. Like little things like that. That's going to come back to bite you.
Absolutely.
In bigger games. But for right now, they're just not playing teams that can take advantage.
Yeah. A little surprising Pelham was out there. That was his first snap of the year in any capacity.
Wasn't he like fourth string or something?
So, and I know that sometimes, though, the coaching staffs are like, The guys have 4 games in which they can play, and maybe here's a spot we can see a guy shine, but it also feels like maybe the wrong spot to not give it to one of the other guys who, like Evan Stewart, who eventually was returning him after
maybe
that.
You're just trying to get guys some looks, and you feel comfortable where that game's going, and, you know, ended up costing you, but, you know, look, again, you won going away. Michigan was never in that game. And honestly, he'll never say it. I don't think Dan Lanning was ever really...
No.
Scared of, of Michigan.
Did you also see the latest fast one that Dan Lanning pulled this week with the rules book? That was kind of interesting.
Yeah, that with the punt?
Yeah. Basically, so, he sent him out in like a wonky offensive line formation and kind of baited the nose tackle into lining up right over the center, which he's not allowed to do, and you got a penalty and a first down out of it.
Yeah, it was fourth and four, so he got a penalty.
Cheap five.
Coaxed a penalty out of him and then got the first down.
Hey, that's some old big balls Chip. He used to do weird stuff like that.
The guy can't be stopped.
Unless Ohio State kicks a field goal, then maybe he could have been stopped.
Or calls a timeout.
It's how razor thin that game is.
I know. It's so true. I was thinking about that today.
Oregon fan, I've noticed, is a little bowed up. And I'm like, dude, that...
We cannot...
Once the wind was in the barn, it did not matter how they came by it at all.
No, that's very true. That was a huge night.
Yeah.
But we cannot get over our skis about Oregon because they're beating these...
Yeah.
SS Big Ten team.
It's not your competition.
It's just you're really good.
Yeah.
Okay, that we know that. Yeah. There's you're taking nothing away from them. But let's not get over our skis. You said it. They're not dominant. No. They're really good. They're probably the best team in the country, and have showed that. But you know,
there's other teams that can
slow down.
There's other teams that can nick you.
No, I don't know about Indiana or maybe the stupid.
Not about enough of your this anti-Hoosier talk.
Maybe the replay officials. They missed another one. Like, how do these...
That was unbelievable.
Yeah.
How do these Big Ten officials not see... So that was the first touchdown. It was Stewart.
Yeah, and I thought every touchdown got reviewed, like the NFL.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, how do they keep missing these?
I don't know.
Did they not have the angle in time or something? That was so obvious. We're talking about the Evan Stewart touchdown that went through his hands and hit the turf.
He completely
and they call
missed it, and they showed it on the replay. It's like, oh my God, it ain't even close. And touchdown.
Yeah.
Didn't review it. I don't know.
Welcome to college officiating.
What, did they hire all the Pac-12 officials?
I guess. Well, they had to, you know, got some extra games.
Look, basically what we're finding out is when you go from the Pac-12 to the Big Ten, you think it's like this awesome thing. It's like, wow, this is a big boy conference. Man. It's the same crap. Crappy-ass teams, crappy-ass officials, overrated environments. It's not that great.
You know who's not overrated?
Indiana. Cignetti, baby.
Just get on board right now. Let's go. Come on. Google me, bitch. Get on board with the Hoosiers.
All right, we'll wrap up our college football Manny Petty next. Here's Buck. Well, there he was, John Anthony. Right after the game starts.
Yeah.
Game's well underway. And
you can still call and get confirmed information.
He's coming on here touting his picks.
You're damn right.
John Anthony.
Easier to pick him once the games have started.
Hey, man, live betting. What are you talking about?
I do love a good live bet.
Yeah, well, you guys are a bunch of fools without confirmed information. Me and John Anthony, we got the goods, and he wants to go 5-0 for me.
Number one against the spread.
Yeah. Do you want to go 5-0 for me? I don't think you do. Yeah.
So our college football Manny Petty continues here. We'll wrap it up, okay? Looking around the world of college football over the weekend. James Franklin does it again.
James, jeez.
The third time he's lost to Ohio State after leading by 10 or more points.
I just,
after that pick six, man, it was like, oh, yeah. Baby. Well,
think about it. Will Howard played by far the worst game of his season. And they were playing with an absolutely reshuffled O-line that couldn't do anything against Nebraska. And yet Penn State still couldn't get it done. I mean, my God, if you're a Penn State fan, let me just say, ha ha, suck it. I'm glad that you're going through this. But, I mean, it has to be absolutely maddening to think that you have all the resources at such a historically great program and you can beat you can beat like 95% of the teams in the country, but you can't beat any of the 5%. You just cannot
like ever.
Ever.
They're one in, I think the number is
like
that they are
14, 1-13, something like that.
They're 1-13 against AP top five opponents.
I mean, my goodness.
Under Franklin.
Yeah.
1-13 against the top five. Now, yeah. I mean, you wouldn't expect that to be
but
9-4.
No, but I would expect it to have, what was the one win?
Wait, 9-5. Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know.
You know, it's
but they're 1-23. Okay, so Franklin is 1-13 against the AP top five.
Mm.
Penn State is 1-23 against AP top five since 2000. They've played 24 games against top five teams since 2000. That's a good program.
Yes.
And they've lost 23 of them. Yeah.
It's pretty much every time they play Michigan or Ohio State, they lose. Well,
pretty much.
And you think about it, I mean, this is what, it's not to this extent, this is what got Bo Pelini fired at Nebraska, which is why they're not paying James Franklin $60 million to go away. I don't know who you go get, but if you're Penn State, I absolutely think it is within your, it would not be unreasonable to tell James Franklin to go find somewhere else to coach. And you have the money to do it. Penn State has as much money. I mean, they came, remember when they were fined by the NCAA, they were fined like 40 or 50 million bucks. Penn State raised it in like half a year. Like they just had money came in and they're like, I mean, that is a big money program. And I think if you're Penn State, you do have to ask yourself, what do you want to be? Because clearly this is not like a small trend. You are not capable with this staff and this recruiting to play with those big boys. And if I'm Penn State, that's not good enough. It's just not because if this was Wisconsin, if this was Iowa, I get it. But Penn State, there's no excuse for being this bad.
I will say Jim Harbaugh had this.
Yeah.
And he had it for, I just wanted to look up how many years he was there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Locked, cocked, ready to rock.
Basically 8 years before he got over the hump.
And they made him take a pay cut.
Yeah. He was on, I mean, they were talking about that same thing you just said.
Yep.
About James Franklin, they were saying about Jim Harbaugh, and he just won the championship.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that James Franklin is Jim Harbaugh. Maybe there are too many blind spots there. I don't know. But that's not to say James Franklin can't eventually change this.
Yeah, but it's one thing to have a bugaboo against one team. Boy, it's a whole other thing to have a bugaboo against seemingly anyone that's elite.
Well, Penn State now needs... They basically need Indiana or Michigan to beat Ohio State.
Yes.
Because if they don't,
they're out.
Penn State's likely out.
Although, to be fair to James Franklin,
title game,
Penn State will be in the college football playoff.
And they'll probably be...
You think they will?
Yo, yeah.
And they'll probably host a game in the first round because they'll be a one-loss team.
Yeah, as a one-loss team.
So you don't think they're going to lose again? Who else do they have?
I don't think
they have. I think their schedule's soft the rest of the way. I'll double-check it. But
I don't think they have anything else. I remember I was kind of going through over the weekend and was looking at this. They have, they got
Minnesota nothing. Would be the hardest.
Washington, Purdue, Minnesota, Maryland. They're in.
The Minnesota game's at Minnesota.
Yeah.
They're 6-3.
Yeah, maybe. I would assume Penn State's in. I mean, again, these are games that James Franklin doesn't lose. He loses to good teams. But here's the thing. If you're Penn State and you make the playoff and you're like, oh, we made the playoff, and then you get drilled in week one and you get bounced, are we right back to the, are you freaking kidding me? You know, so I don't.
You're speaking Japanese.
He's not fired, but to me, there has to be as much pressure on James Franklin as any coach in the country that isn't like.
Ryan Day?
Yeah.
Dude, Ryan Day might have just saved his job.
Yes.
Because that was not going well for a while.
Well, think about this. No, because again, he was losing to the one team he can't lose to, and then he loses by the slimmest of margins to Oregon, and we're talking about him, and now you know, James Franklin isn't even in the same category of what Ryan Day's done. And you know, by the way, who's going to start going through this and is getting kind of bitchy about it is Lincoln Riley. Lincoln Riley.
He can't even beat average teams.
No. Next year, that is going to be a monstrous year for USC because they are becoming irrelevant. They're becoming an afterthought. They're becoming an afterthought in recruiting in their own state. It's just, and if you've heard any of his press conference, dude, he is spinning some BS right now. That's not pretty down there.
How about credit where it's due? Especially from you.
What?
UCLA.
No.
What are you laughing at?
There will be no.
They went to Nebraska.
Bucking the trend. No. They've now won. Gone on the road to beat Rutgers and Nebraska. Yes, they're doing the time zone thing.
You want me to give UCLA credit?
Yes, I do. They deserve it.
Do they?
Yes. You, for as much as you piled on them.
They suck.
Well, okay, but for as much as you piled on them, they won.
And Raiola got hurt.
They won on the road at Rutgers and at Nebraska. Give them credit. This is like the time you jumped all over Arizona State for hiring Herm Edwards, and you had to come out and be like, you know what? He's not quite as bad as I thought. I still think he sucks, and it's going to end badly, which it did. But you had to give, reluctantly, you had to give credit to Herm. I think UCLA deserves credit from you.
They lost 5 in a row. They've now won 2. I'll tell you what.
I think they deserve credit from you. They're ahead of USC in the standings, aren't they?
They've got Iowa. They have my Hawkeyes.
Where's that game? In the raucous Rose Bowl?
Yes. That is in the Rose Bowl.
Did you see the Florida State crowd, by the way?
No. Was there like 8 people?
Well, towards the end of the game. To be fair, it was towards the end of the game. And they were getting smoked again. Mm. Dude, it was bad. Somebody did a panoramic of the stadium.
Yeah.
There was maybe 10,000 people there, 15, 20,000 people there. I mean, that's a huge stadium, right? 75,000.
Yeah, it's a big place. Gosh. Yeah, Florida State, they're 1-7.
Well, not to distract you, but we have a UCLA coach on the line, and he would like to hear you praise his team. He's listening.
They got Iowa coming up. Coach.
Wow. Not even going to give him props for.
I'm interested.
2 straight Big Ten road wins when they were buried as the worst program in all of world.
But you don't have my attention yet. You don't. Nebraska's lost 3 in a row,
but
by the way.
They don't need to get your attention. Nobody's saying they're going on to win the championship. Just a little credit.
I don't want to.
God, you're stubborn.
I don't want to.
Did you know they're in Los Angeles?
I heard that in the Pac-10 media, the Big Ten media day. By the way, Nebraska, I mentioned, has lost 3 in a row. Rutgers has lost, I believe, 5 in a row. So
wasn't Rutgers the team that Kirk Herbstreit said had an outside shot at? And this is why we do preseason prognostications, folks.
This is why we do it.
Because we all saw Indiana coming.
I want to give. Did. I'm thinking about giving you some.
I don't even think Cignetti did.
I can't bring myself to do it.
You know Cignetti's sitting there looking at his assistants going, what the hell?
What are
number
we doing?
8?
Yeah, can I also just say Bucky Irving looks awesome in the NFL? I'm watching him play right now, and he looks really good.
Yeah, he wasn't even supposed to go tonight.
Would you say that if you weren't a Duck fan?
No, of course not.
Or would he be just another
But we're a Duck-centric market, and he is on the television right now, and it's a kind of indirect extension of college
football. I thought Bucky Irving was criminally underrated at Oregon, and I was surprised he went as deep as he did in the draft. And I just thought, well, maybe athletically he just can't get it done. But he's been a nice guy there in Tampa.
As of 2 weeks ago, I saw he led the NFL in broken tackle rate.
Yeah, I just with his size and that running style, I hate to do this. He'll be that guy in like 2 years. You'll be like, hey, whatever happened to him? He runs
a little too tough.
A little too tough for his size. But it's fun, dude. When that guy goes, he's a rolling ball of butcher knives. You know who's not a rolling ball of butcher knives?
Bo Nix.
UCLA. Oh, yeah. That came crashing down. Not going to.
Come on. UCLA.
He's the only player in the NFL this season with a rushing, passing, and receiving touchdown.
There's the duck
Baltimore
guy.
Baltimore took them behind the alley and just, that was a old-fashioned alley whipping.
What's the UCLA's coach's name?
Deshaun Foster.
Deserves credit. And you know what, Deshaun? I'm going to give it to you. My partner is too hard-headed to admit that he was wrong. And you guys are...
What? What are they? What?
Well, they're on a win streak.
Beat 2 of the...
How about that?
And against 2 teams that are on garbage losing streaks?
You have a responsibility to your audience to be more responsible.
That's classic Sukanik. You can't...
I will. Beat Iowa.
You will say about another team, like, well, you can only play who you play.
Beat Iowa. Beat Iowa.
They might.
beat my, I'm wearing my punch shirt.
Now, see, what this tees up is a classic Sukanic spin job here.
Oh,
this,
absolutely.
This tees up Iowa to beat UCLA by 30 and for you to come on here and go, see?
I will.
See?
I will.
No.
I will be wearing my Iowa punch maybe, sweatshirt on here, listen, giving you the bird.
Iowa may beat UCLA by 30, yeah. But the point is that for as much as you piled on the my Bruins and Deshaun Foster early in the season, the least you could do is have a little humility and say, you know what? Nice job winning those two road games. But you won't even do that. Unbelievable, sports guy.
I will say, I want to do it.
I know you do. I can see it in your eyes. But you just can't.
Back-to-back weeks at Rutgers, at Nebraska.
Let's call it,
I want to.
Let's call it growth on your part. Like, you're getting older. You're,
want to.
You're trying to be a better person.
Yeah.
This would be a great step in the new, the newer, kinder, gentler Big Sook.
I want
just
to,
say
I,
it.
But I can't.
How many wins in their last four games would they need to give you
well,
something?
Well, now he won't ever say it. Mm. See, this is another thing I know about Sook, is that if
once
he's
the
not
heels
gonna,
are dug in.
Yeah, he's not. No, he's no. not coming out of
it. One more win, which, by the way, would give them four on the year. If they get to four wins, I will give some flowers.
Who else do they have? Do they have other wins on that?
Not flowers. I will give flower to that sorry-ass program at UCLA that should just be wiped off the face of the map. That whole program sucks. Everything about it other than they have kick-ass uniforms.
They might not have a win left.
No, Iowa, Washington, SC, and Fresno State. Maybe they'll beat Fresno State.
Yeah, they'll beat USC. USC can't beat you and me.
Everything about the UCLA program sucks, minus the unis.
Man, that's rough. Nice couple wins, Bruins. At least I'm fair.
It's probably
coming
true.
Coming up next,
you know.
Did you see the big fight over the weekend?
The big fight
in college football?
Yeah, between the police?
Yeah, it was cops and fans.
Boy, that thing was, that escalated quickly.
Good grief.
Yeah, I was using handcuffs as brass knuckles.
We'll be right back on The Fan. Florida-Georgia game ended up, you know.
Hey, was, Florida had them there for a little bit. It was like, oh, my gosh.
Well, it was one of those games where I'm not that interested in it until it makes me interested.
Yeah, and Carson Beck apparently can make anything interesting.
It was tied with like 4 minutes left.
He's just a turnover machine.
And I certainly did have to turn over there and watch that.
Yeah.
But Georgia put him away, as Georgia does.
Yeah.
But the story of that game was that the cops, the Jacksonville police, and fans were going at it in a brouhaha.
Yeah, and not like a normal, like, you know, you see cops that get into it with people and they're arresting them. Dude, this, if I told you that like, this looked like some sort of amateur security guard thing. Dude, they were throwing haymakers.
Both, yeah, it wasn't like they just used, like, physicality to, like, stop whatever was going on.
Was
it just kept going.
Well, and one of the guys was just this old, frail Florida fan.
Yeah. And the one of the cops literally took his police cuffs and he was using them as brass knuckles, was punching that dude. Dude, it was crazy.
It's wild out there.
Other dude was wielding the stick. He was going over the top with that.
Dude, I'll tell you what, man. Florida. It's
there was another video.
It's unhinged.
If you saw, but there was another video, and I'm pretty sure it was at the same game in Jacksonville. Some guy was sitting way up in the stands. Did you see this one where this girlfriend was standing next to him? There wasn't anybody really around him, but he was refusing to go with the cops.
Oh, I did see. That's the same game?
Same game, I think so, yeah.
Oh, because I saw that clip, but I see these things come across my Twitter, and it never really gives me any details. It's just like, oh, this happened this weekend, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, and they beat the crap out of him.
Yeah, they beat the hell out of him, too.
Tased him 8 times.
That's the way this is going down, huh?
In Jacksonville.
Well, I mean, I guess it's one of those things, if they do tell you that you're getting kicked out, and you're like, no, I won't go. I mean,
I saw a fan from the game kept the little taser cords as a souvenir.
Yeah,
like posted on social media.
Yeah,
he's
the
like,
one
look
guy
what
that
I
got
taser.
He like reached, he like grabbed him out of his chest and like ripped him off. And was like, ah. I am fascinated. Now, I've never fought the officers of the law. I did get hit with one of those billy clubs. Is that what they have? Billy clubs in the back of the legs, hurt quite badly. But I did not.
I love that you got billy clubbed in the back of the leg.
Oh, gosh. I went down like a ton of bricks. So I didn't realize there was a cop that was telling me to stop. I just thought it was someone yelling at me.
Paya!
Did he say that when he hit you?
It was a gal, actually.
Paya!
Even better.
Yeah.
Did she go, paya!
Ah! It really hurts. Right in the back of the hammies, you go down. Like, yikes. Hey, get me in the back or something. But I'm always fascinated. So, like, once I realized it was a cop, it's not like I turned around and was like, ah, we're going to fight you. It's like, oh, crap, it's a cop. And you get cuffed and, you know, there you go. what do these people think is the end game when the cop's like, dude, you're under arrest? And the person's like, no, I'm not. Like, well, yeah, you're under arrest.
It's going to end badly.
Like, you're not arresting me today. Yeah, you're getting arrested. It's just a matter of, are you getting tased? Are you getting shot? Are you getting pepper sprayed? I mean, I understand that you don't want to be arrested. I can assure you, I didn't want to get hit with that club, nor did I want handcuffs. But it's really not up to you. Even if the cop is in the wrong, it's still not going to end well for you. I'm fascinated by those people that take that stance of, it's not
perhaps
going
to... It's the same stubborn people who won't give UCLA a modicum of credit for winning two great Big Ten road games.
Maybe that's what it is. It's like there's something deep inside of them that can't. They want to. They want to put their hands up and say, I'm sorry, officer, or way to go, Deshaun Foster. And they just can't bring myself to do it. Mm.
And that is our sports show. Mm. It's over.
Sports.
Thank you. We didn't even get to the NFL today.
No.
How about that? Sometimes
my
we
Ravens?
Do that, though. What?
My Ravens?
Our Ravens.
Our Ravens.
Thank you. But
look at
yeah.
Look at my Bucks being plucky here.
Our Bucks, yeah.
They're about to have their hearts ripped out, though, because that's what Kansas City does.
Andy Reid off the bye. Don't mess with them.
So,
there's so much bad ball right now in the NFL, though.
Yeah, the NFL. Which is tougher to watch, the NFL or the Big Ten?
Big Ten, but the NFL has its moments. I watched some of that Colts game.
Dude, that game, I want a refund.
The Colts?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was unbelievable.
It's not good. It's not good. Sam Darnold and Joe Flacco are like, I don't want this game. You take it. And they're like, nah, you take it.
That was the dumbest game of all time.
Somewhere Anthony Richardson sitting on the bench being like, I got sat down for that.
Did you see what he was doing at halftime of that game?
No.
He was yawning.
He was standing out in front of the tunnel. He was the last guy off the field in the first half, giving everybody a high five. Somebody's gotten in his ear and told him about being a leader.
Well, I guess he's always Mr. Positivity. He sucks at quarterbacking.
He's a man of increase.
He is a man
trying
of increase.
To be.
Except when he's on the field.
All right.
Being a man of increase?
let's move on. We'll move on to the club. We'll get to some NFL stuff tomorrow. The club tonight has Peanut the Squirrel and the hot new Christmas trend of 2024.
Who knew squirrels could lead to bomb threats?
But we start with a notable death next on The Fan.